Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Greetings to the newcomers. There's one other person. I admire you coming here and stepping out of your comfort zone. Thank you for being here. And thank you for all you online people, too, for being here. Well, as many of you know, Roshi usually asks somebody once a month to do a little encouragement talk. And he also said to speak about what's close to my heart. So this talk is more about what's close to my heart, more than encouragement, but it gets better as it goes along. So here goes a little bit of rambling. So we are all going to die. Now, it's not encouraging, but we all know it's coming. And more to the point, I feel recently, I guess because I'm getting older, I'm getting to the 60 year, and I think about this a little bit more. And you know, I realized, you know, I'm afraid to die. The truth is I will somehow, I really will need to face it. I need to face it, and I need a way to look at it. And in a way, I feel like it's a good thing to do because the inevitability of it, you know, it could be decades, years, months, could be moments. And faculties will be lost, loved ones will be lost, friends will be lost. You know, this doesn't sound very encouraging, but it's going to get better. And then also, I'm also afraid of being forgotten. A few personal items and treasured pictures would be kept by others in my memory. But then after a while, they just become devoid of their connection to me. Somebody else will get them in 100 years. No one will know who I am. No one will know who my loved ones are. You know, all that plaques and bridges, streets and monuments that you see named after famous people. Who are these people? We don't really know. We know their names, but we don't really know who they are. So I have this habit, I've had this habit of just removing myself and loved ones from the sickness and death picture. And I distract myself in countless ways to avoid thinking about it too much. Streaming, TV, Google, word games, news, shopping, goes on and on and on. My eyes are glued to the screen of all sorts. My ears are plugged with pods for many, many hours of each day. This is all a distraction from the truth, of course, and I'm aware of it. These words from Jennifer Wellwood gave me a great big pinch recently. My friends, let's grow up. Let's stop pretending we don't know the deal here. Or if we really haven't noticed, let's wake up and notice. Look, everything that can be lost will be lost. It's simple. How could we have missed it so long? Let's grieve our losses fully, like ripe human beings, but please, let's not be so shocked by them. Let's not act so betrayed, as though life has broken her secret promise to us. Impermanence is life's only promise to us, and she keeps it with ruthless impeccability. To a child, she seems cruel, but she is only wild, and her compassion exquisitely precise, brilliantly penetrating, luminous with truth. She strips away the unreal to show us the real. This is the true ride. Let's give ourselves to it. Let's stop making deals for a safe passage. There isn't one anyway, and the cost is too high. We are not children anymore. A true human adult gives everything for what cannot be lost. I realize that I feel myself as this contracted, fearful, and stressed sense of self. It may be ugly and it may even be crazy, but it's my ugly, crazy self. It's my view of things, and it's comforting, and it's familiar, and it's cozy. But I know it's so weak, it really offers no substantial refuge. Devastation is on its way, and I am not ready for it. Kathleen Dowling Singh says in her book, The Grace in Aging, lightening our attachment to self is the only thing that is going to get us through the decline, illness, and loss that we will almost inevitably face from now until we die with some equanimity and peaceful sanity, rather than weeping and gnashing of teeth. And she also says, most of us have dug deep trenches of stress and unease. It is truly now or never in terms of letting go of this tight hold on self. If we don't do it now, death will do it for us, and we will have missed the dazzling grace, filled life that was offered to us. Roshi and Sensei, they've said this in so many different ways over the years that I've been here. I see the wisdom in it, but I have to say I'm afraid to let go. Somewhere there's a saying that you have to reach a point that is uncomfortable enough to make the changes that will relieve the discomfort. There's also a saying that if you put a frog in cool water and then gradually warm it to boiling, it will stay in and boil. It doesn't realize that it should have jumped out at some point. I don't want to be that frog. So here I am in this time-honored practice of Zen that tells me, begs me even, to really see that there's a deeper context between this fearful sense of self, beyond this fearful sense of self that I cling to at all costs, both consciously and unconsciously. All of Zen practice, including the rituals and the chants, are meant to help loosen my grip on my small self, so I can more clearly see the bigger picture in which I already exist. The evening gatha, for example, let me respectfully remind you, life and death are of supreme importance. Time swiftly passes by and opportunity is lost. Each of us must strive to awaken, take heed. This night, your days are diminished by one. Do not squander your life. I get it, but I lack the confidence to make the changes necessary for transformation. It feels overwhelming. Geese appear high over us, pass, and the sky closes, abandoned. As in love or sleep, holds them to their way, clear in the ancient faith. What we need is here. And we pray not for new heaven and earth, but to be quiet in heart, in an eye clear. What we need is here. Wendell Berry. Hummingbirds. I feel such awe every summer when I see them at my feeder, knowing that they just flew thousands of miles to get here and will soon make that trip back, each one on its own, even those just a few months old. To me, this is just one of billions of examples of intelligence that is beyond the form. I can see it all around me. but somehow I make myself an exception, telling myself that I alone am in charge. If this is truly the case, can I really expect that the little I know has carried me this far? The spiritual journey is a process that happens to us. We don't do it. The mystery simply unfolds itself. Thomas Keating. Anne Lamott says, I do not understand the mystery of grace, only that it meets me where we are. Only that it meets us where we are and does not leave us where it found us. And Roshi Ray said to me, I always remember, let the practice work on you. So, with faith, sitting and walking, alert and relaxed, breathing, nothing separate. This, just this. Thank you.